What is that, an actual cooking thing going on there?
Well, thought I'd give it a try.
What is it?
A cassoulet.
Oh, what's that?
Same as a casserole.
So why would they call it that?
I don't know. Should I call Paris?
Oh, it just seems to me, why don't they just call it a casserole? I mean, why do that to people?
Because they're bastards and they hate you.
Paul Reiser is here, the great Paul Reiser. Paul, from time to time, not because we're lazy, just because we like doing it, we have our guests give their own introduction. Would you mind doing that for us, please?
Oh, I should do my own introduction?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you meant your people, your audience gives the introduction.
That's also a good idea.
Oh, but okay. I should introduce myself.
Yes.
It's too late. I'm already here.
You're already here.
We missed the window for introduction.
Can we do it next time?
Yes, I'll call in just to do that and then not show up.
All right, that's fair. Paul Reiser is here. He's performing in town this Saturday, May the 3rd, at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. You want to go to NorthShoreCenter.org.
Tomorrow, Friday.
Tomorrow. Already, yeah.
It's coming up. How
Friday,
are you?
Yes. I'm going to, as soon as you're done yapping with me, I'm going to go to the airport. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Except for I just heard the traffic and weather. That's not encouraging.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe some of the flights have been canceled. So check with your local carrier, Paul, before you get to the airport.
Wow. I'm so glad we spoke.
And, Paul, you're now working primarily indoors, aren't you?
I work mainly indoor venues. But you have to get there. And I've heard, this may be true, not true, often there's traffic in Chicago.
Yes, we do from time to time have a spot
of traffic. I've seen it myself. So, yes, so I'm expecting at least 26 hours of delay. That's how I'm leaving a day early just to beat the rush hour.
That's outstanding. I have to tell you, I saw you as part of a documentary a couple of nights ago, and it's a documentary I don't even know if you know that you're in.
No idea.
It's called Welcome to Coochers, and it's about a resort in the Catskills that you played at when you were very young. Do you remember?
Yes. I don't remember the documentary, but I remember it. Coochers, yes. Coochers is a legend. Really? I was in the documentary?
Yeah, they were mentioning all the acts that had played there before they were famous.
And Jerry, I spoke to them?
You were not shown. They showed an 8x10 of you from years and years
different.
Ago.
Well, they don't bother me to tell me that.
Right. Right.
Yes, well, but it's good to know. Let me just recap. So a picture of me was in a documentary that was seen in Chicago about a place that closed 30 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So now I'm all caught up.
Right. I probably should have told you this in advance.
Yeah, I wish you had told me that. I would have spoken to the nice people. But more importantly, I'll be there tomorrow in Chicago with not just a picture, my actual person.
Oh, you're actually going to perform this time?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
going to
be great. At the North Shore Performing Arts Center, which is a great venue, and I'm looking forward.
Will you be doing some scenes from Selma that you were in?
What? Scenes from what?
From Selma.
How do you know that story?
Because, and I would like you to say it, but the Chicago Tribune wrote an article about mistaken identity and Paul Reiser. Go ahead.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, the story was, I will tell you, the story was, this is a sign that I'm getting older because I don't necessarily trust my own memory, that I was in a doctor's office and bumped into another actor, a very distinguished older gentleman, older than me even.
Wow.
This is a few years ago, and I said hello, and he said hello, and then he very warmly and genuinely said, I really loved your performance in the movie Selma. And I thought to myself, I wasn't in Selma. But in that split second, I thought, maybe I was in Selma. Because why would this guy lie?
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with him. I trust him more than I trust myself because I forget a lot of things. And I went home and watched it. I'm not in that either.
I'm in
the documentary on Kutcher's.
Yes.
But I forgot about it. But Selma, I was right. I was not in that.
Who do you think he saw in Selma that he thought was you?
Tim Roth. He said, finally, I did have to say to him, I said, you know, forgive me, I you might be mistaken. I don't think I was in Selma. And he said, did you not play George Wallace? And I went, oh, no, I definitely would have remembered playing George Wallace.
Wow.
And I went home and I looked, and that was Tim Roth. I went, okay, I could see how possibly. Are you not Robert De Niro? He said, no, I'm not Robert De Niro. I said, okay, then we're both wrong today.
Paul, you're so good in these Avenger movies, by the way.
Oh, Oh, my dynamite in those.
You're
right,
so
in those,
good.
I forgot.
Yes. You're so good in that.
I got to tell you, I loved you in Stranger Things. People are texting.
Now that one I know for a fact.
Yeah.
I was in Stranger Things. You can't fool me there.
And somebody texted and wants to know how the Stranger Things came about. How'd you get hooked up with one of the coolest new shows out there?
Why would you be even suspect of that? I'm a very cool guy. Why
you
is that
saw him
surprising?
In Selma, Wendy. He was great in
I
Selma.
Know.
I was great. I chose not to be in Selma. That's how cool I was. Unless I did. unless I was, in which case I loved it. Stranger Things came about crazily because the Duffer Brothers, who created that, called me and said, we have this new show. It was like the day after it came out. And said, if we do a second season, we have a character that we wrote with you in mind. And I said, well, that's absurd. And they said, they actually wrote it calling the entire time of the draft, it was called Dr. Reiser. And then they said, you know, why don't we just call Paul Reiser instead of getting somebody who maybe looks like Paul Reiser.
Like Tim
so
Roth.
Tim Roth was unavailable.
Yeah,
exactly. I set you up. And there you go.
A fun show to do, Paul, I hope, was it?
It was great fun. Yeah, it was great fun, and those kids were very nice to me. I was Pop's Comedy. I was by far the oldest person in the city, and it was great fun. And I just I think my part is done, but I'm on this new show, Fosse Verdon, which is the Bob Fosse, Sam Rockwell, and Michelle Williams, which is on FX, and I got to do a couple of episodes on that, which was great fun. And that one I was in, I know for a fact, because I saw it last night, yeah. And but more importantly, where am I going to be tomorrow night? Tell the people.
All right, Paul Reiser will be seen at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. He'll be performing live there. You want to get tickets by dialing up northshorecenter.org/event/Paul Reiser. It couldn't be easier.
It couldn't be easier. And any problem, call Tim Roth. He'll get you in. But let me tell you something. It's going to be a great Chicago. I haven't been in Chicago now for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we talked to you last time you were in town, and it's been quite a while. Why the delay?
You know, a little of me goes a long way.
Is that true?
You don't want to overstay your welcome.
Oh,
you know
I hope
what I'm
that's
saying?
Not true.
Let the hunger develop. I've been busy doing other things, and I'm circling back. And they called and invited me, and I said, "Yeah, it'd be great." But and this time, I'm bringing my buddy Vance Gilbert, who's opening the show. He's
musician.
A great singer. Yeah, great singer, songwriter. He's going to open the show, and he used to tour with George Carlin, which I only found out after we were working together. He did the last 7 or 8 years of George's performing years. And so I just, as a huge fan of George Carlin, I was always tickled with that connection. But he's great, and it's, I don't know, I always love when there's a musician and then a comedian. I love you're getting all your bases covered. So it's going to be a great night.
Paul, some comics prefer to have a comic in front of them, but you would prefer to have a singer in front of you. Why? What's the thought process there?
I feel like, you know, I always question comedians over comedian. It feels like you're having the same meal twice.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like here's my analogy. If you have your mind, you're going out for a steak, and you really want to have a steak, and you can't wait, and you go to this great steak restaurant, and then because they're very nice, they say, you know, before you have the steak, we're on the house, here's a little hamburger. You're going, well, that's nice, but now I don't want the steak so much.
Right.
I had basically the essence of a steak. So I know when I see, and same when I see a show. You know, I don't like to see two singers. I like shuffle it up.
Mix it up a little bit. Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. That's the way it should be, as God intended.
Since we're talking to you, it would be criminal to not mention the good news that Mad About You is returning to television.
Well, you say criminal. I don't know if it's legally binding. Yes, we just opened up our writer's room this week, and we started bouncing ideas around, and it's going to be fun. We were, it's been a long process, about 2 years. It was almost 2 years, a year and a half at least, that Helen Hunt and I said, yeah. They asked us, and we thought about it and said, gee, it sounds really silly. Why would we do that? And then we started talking about it and thought, it actually could be great fun, and we had a good reason to tell it. You know, we thought it wasn't a nostalgic sort of, hey, let's go revisit, but rather let's really check in and see what life is like 25 years into this marriage with a kid now gone. It's not, you know, well, most of your life is behind you instead of in front of you. It's a very different story to tell. So we said yes, and then it took a long time for them to get all their ducks in a row and line it up business-wise. I don't know why it took so long. But we are jumping in, and we're going to hopefully have them all done by the end of the year.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Everybody wanted to be Jamie and Paul. I'm sorry. Watching that show, it's like, oh, I'll get married someday. It's not really like that, actually.
No, it is. In my house, every 30 minutes, we stop talking. And then we come back next week and we talk again. That's exactly. Isn't that like how life is?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
I get,
and then at the end of the half hour, Seinfeld comes in with his friends to my house, and then they talk for half an hour. Yeah, it's that's the way I thought life should be.
I give Paul and Jamie Buckman credit for starting a trend. You named your the characters named their baby Mabel. All of a sudden, it's very in fashion to name your daughter something that was a popular name from years and years ago. I think you guys were the first ones to do that.
Well, we're very proud of that. And any way we can help the American people, we're here to serve.
It's working. It's working.
Will there be any musical guest stars like Yoko Ono or Cyndi Lauper? Are they coming back?
Oh, you know, we haven't gotten that far, maybe.
Oh,
we're only going to do 12, so I don't know how many times we're going to get to bring in people. We're going to do a short batch of 12, and then I don't know if I guess if it went terrifically well, we would maybe do another batch. But, you know, gone are the days where you have to do 24 episodes in 7 years. And that's if you're lucky, you know, if you're lucky and the show goes well. But that would be hard to do. It seems to me a younger person's game.
Paul, can I tell you who my favorite guest star was of all time?
I would like that.
Not just Carl Reiner, but Carl Reiner playing Alan Brady.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was excellent.
That was, Carl Reiner at that point had... He told us that he had been asked many times by many people to come and be on the show, and he didn't want to, didn't appeal to him. But the first time he did it was when we pitched him the idea of come back as Alan Brady, which, you know, talk about connection. It really, it was sort of a mind meld of like, wait a second, so Mad About You exists in a world, in the same world as the Dick Van Dyke Show, so Rob and Laura Pitch feature.
Yep.
That doesn't seem, but it made all the sense in the world. There's Alan Brady.
So funny.
Someone wants to know if you found a new Murray for the reboot.
We have not. We will have an open casting session to get a new dog, because the original Murray, I'm not sure if he's gone. We don't speak to each other. You know, a lot of times you work with somebody and they blow you off.
Yeah.
And Helen and I are friends. John Panko and I are friends. Yeah. Murray got a little big for us. A little, as my father would say, he's hi-hatting us. He would hi-hat us. When's the last time you heard that expression?
It's been a long time.
Never.
Paul, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Paul, about now that all these years have passed, you guys did a story arc where Paul and Jamie, even though they were crazy in love with each other, they kind of went their separate ways for a story arc.
Very good. You're very smart, because that was a question we decided yesterday. In fact, when we did our finale like 20 years ago, and it was like this week, it was really the first week of May, wow, 1999, we did a one-hour finale where we jumped ahead into the future specifically so that we would not only never be tempted to come back, but we wouldn't even be able to come back because we'll have already told the story. And the thinking was that, you know, marriage is not easy, and certainly if you're going to make it all the way to the finish line, you don't get there free of charge. There's a lot of ups and downs. So we wanted to show that this couple, who did, yeah, absolutely, was so committed and loved each other, even they had their tough spots. And there's once or twice where they separated. We never said how long or how seriously, but they just said, you know, enough is enough. And then ended up back together because that's how it was meant to be for them. So we had a long discussion yesterday, like, where in that arc are we starting? Is this before they broke up and came back, or is it after? And then, you know what everybody said? Nobody's going to remember that. Who remembers that?
Oh, everybody remembered that.
Look at that. It's you. You remembered.
It was I cried when they had their issues because, like,
they
no couple could.
For each
yeah.
Other.
Yeah, no, we as did we. You know, we took it very seriously. We were talking about there was a scene halfway in the end of the fourth season, where they were having trouble getting pregnant, and they had a big breakup scene, and it got kind of funky. This wasn't even where they separated, but they just talked about it, and they were having trouble getting pregnant, and each of them came very close to having an affair, and it was very earned. You know, it wasn't just frivolous. It was they were each feeling. Very, not feeling great about themselves. He was not feeling as a man, and she was not feeling herself as a woman because they weren't able to have a kid, and they just started drifting apart. And we had this, someone timed it, said it was an almost eight minute scene. I think it was almost one shot of just us on a park bench saying, well, you know, then maybe we're done. You know, this is it. If we can't get past this infraction and this this lack of trust, maybe we're done. And I remember crying when I wrote it, and that made me think, oh, this is going to be good. I was typing and going, oh, man, I can't believe it. And then we performed, and it welled up every time we shot it. And people tell me to this day they watch that and cry. So I thought, well, that's a good thing. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I probably shared this with you last time I was here. When one of the nicest parts about going out and doing stand-up again, which because I didn't do it. When Mad About You started in 92, I just didn't get out and work till recently, about 5 or 6 years ago. And now, when I go out and after the show, I'm always out in the lobby and I'll sign books or whatever people have and say hello. And everybody's got a story. And everybody comes over and say, boy, you know, we got married to your theme song. Or, boy, that episode is exactly what happened. And I didn't know any of that. You know, I never quite realized that for the people who watched the show, how intense an experience it was and what a connection it was. It was really, really gratifying to hear that.
There was no social media back then to reach out to you guys and say, hey, I'm feeling this too. So.
We would drive by your house and honk, Paul, but you never came to the window.
Well, I was discouraged. We did discourage the house honking.
Stuff happens. Whatever. Yeah. Paul Reiser, the great Paul Reiser, performing in town this weekend at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. It's an 8 o'clock start. You want to go to NorthShoreCenter.org
tomorrow. So basically, you have 36 hours. You have 35 hours. 34
leave now.
Hours.
Leave now.
Time is ticking. And Tim Roth will not be there, but I will.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, but come on down, and it's going to be a great show. Hey, and if you guys are there, come by and say hi, would you?
We would love to, Paul.
Absolutely.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks. You bet.
Paul Reiser, everybody.
Love him. Yep. You can go to NorthShoreCenter.org for tickets, and I believe there are still some tickets available.
So true.